I like the going up. You wake us up. Good preparation for the sermon. I would like to thank all of you for coming out this morning. I know you've lost an hour of sleep, but you made it. It's quite tough to wake up another hour, even just another hour. But because of your commitment to the Lord, you are here today. I'm not saying that those who are not here are not committed. I'm just saying that I thank you for being here today. Yes? Amen to that. Now, it was announced that the months of March and April, we will be preaching on the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Last week, it was the work of the Holy Spirit in relation to God's creation, in relation to the Scriptures, in relation to the unbelievers, and in relation to the believers. This morning, our topic is about the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is, to a very good extent, it is also the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believers, like you and me. And Apostle Paul's teachings concerning a fruit-filled spiritual life exhibits a cluster of 9 virtues. It is called cluster because it's like grapes. It is not 9 pieces. It is one with 9 virtues in it. That's why it is called the fruit. It is not called the fruits. It is singular. And it is found in our text. Would you please go back to it? In Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 to 23. Perhaps we could say it together if you are there. And let's begin. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. So we got love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. What's the 9th one? Gentleness and self-control. There are 9 of them. I'd like to give you a homework. Let's see if you could remember that. It's not so hard, but sometimes we get intertwined. But the important thing is that we will be able to remember all these 9. And I hope and pray that the Lord will bless us as we look at His Word. When I was preparing, actually, I was blown away with the blessing that is given by the Lord in His Word. And trying to put together 9 virtues is quite a few. So what the Lord led me is to that this morning, I will present to you 5 of them, and then in 3 weeks' time, I'll present to you again the other 4. Is that okay with you? But don't forget your assignment. Okay. Now, in your bulletin, it says we have 3 pointers. The first one being is the inward fruit that flows from God. You see, the imagery of fruit is a common metaphor used in the Scriptures, in the Old Testament as well as in the New. Well, let's give an example here. Would you open to Psalm chapter 1? Psalm chapter 1. Today, you will be opening your Bibles more often. On verse 1 to 3, it reads and speaks about the righteous man. The righteous man shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. This is what it should be like for someone who is a believer in the Lord. When the Spirit begins to work in his life, he should be like that of a man, that blessed man, who is like a tree planted by the rivers of water and would bring fruit in season. Now, in the book of Proverbs, you would see so many metaphors that be used by King Solomon. I'd like to invite you, for example, in the Proverbs chapter 1. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 1. I'll begin to read from verse 28. Proverbs 1:28. Then they will call me, but I will not answer. They will look for me, but will not find me. Since they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord, since they would not accept my advice and spurn my rebuke, they will eat the fruit of their ways and be filled with the fruit of their schemes. For the waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. See, this is the negative side. The positive side, the righteous man will be someone who is like a tree planted in water and will bear fruit. Someone who is unrighteous will get no answer from his prayer and will have negative fruits in his life. Isn't it true that even the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 7, He says that you will know the bad ones. You will know the bad tree will never bear good fruit. And a good tree should never bear bad fruit. And in the Bible, Apostle Paul been using this metaphor as well in many different ways. In Romans chapter 1, when he was speaking about the fruit, when he used the word fruit, he speaks about those who have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the fruit of sharing the gospel. And then in Colossians, you see, you and I are called by God to bear fruits. And one of the fruits that you're now supposed to do and to bear is good works. We are to bear good work, and that is fruit, the fruit of our Christian life built by the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And here we see here that the fruit of the Holy Spirit is listed in our text. And this is strictly the spontaneous work of the Holy Spirit in us. And the Spirit only produces what is the nature and or the characteristics of God and the byproduct of the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we see and when we discuss the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it although it is a direct ministry of the Holy Spirit, but we see that the background of it, we see the triune God. It is also the work of the Father and as well as the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we cannot obtain any of these virtues apart from God's help. You can never do it alone. You can never do it by your mind. And the first one in our text is love. The first virtue is love. The Holy Spirit guided Apostle Paul to list down love as the first one. The first one amongst the nine. And undoubtedly, this is the most important of the virtues because it manifests the rest of the nine, the eight of them. The other eight flows out of love. Somebody says, and I quote, he says, the fruit of the Spirit, love is the key. Joy is love singing. Peace is love resting. Patience is love enduring. Kindness is love's touch. Goodness is love's character. Faithfulness is love's habit. Gentleness is love's self forgetfulness. Self-control is love holding the reins. Isn't it true? Love is something that kind of the basis or the foundation of the rest of the nine virtues. And when it speaks about love in our text, it is the divine love. It is the agape love. And one of the best example in the scriptures is in Romans chapter 5. When it says that God demonstrated his love towards us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That is God's love. And that is grace. That is mercy. Out of God's love, he also shown his mercy. Now, in the scriptures, it tells us that the believers must let God cultivate love in their life. It must be cultivated. First and foremost, the requirement is that we are to love God first. The Bible tells us that you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and he goes first. And secondly, we are to love our fellow believers. Jesus Christ says, love one another as I have loved you. When Jesus Christ was mentioning about the greatest love, when he says you are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And then the second one is this, that you are supposed to love your neighbor as well. Because the Bible says that we are to love the rest of the world. And Jesus Christ says, you are even to love your enemies. And the most and wonderful explanation and meaning of love is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Would you turn your Bibles to that? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We'll be reading beginning at verse 4. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And love never fails. And then in the very end on verse 13, it says, and now three remains, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. We cannot go too deep into this. That is another sermon. Perhaps one of these days the Lord will bless me to present to you 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And number two in our list is joy. The fruit of the Spirit is love expressed through joy. You see, love is an exciting occasion. The dictionary defines joy as exaltation of spirit, gladness, delight. But let us be careful that joy is not happiness, although you are happy when you are joy. But it's beyond that. It's greater than being happy. Happiness is an emotion that is dependent on positive circumstances. You cannot possibly be happy when you are in bad situation. That's what differs from happy, being happy and being having the joy that is coming from the Lord. Joy is an eternal nature of God that is bestowed to those who believe, to those who are saved. Isn't it true that when you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have that joy in you? It is quite hard to explain, but you know it's there. And you have experienced it. Let's turn our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter 1. First Peter 1, verses 8 and 9. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Even though you have not seen him now, you believe in him and are filled with what? Expresses and glorious joy, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your soul. That's what it is. As someone who have come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ will experience this divine joy that only God can give and only believers can experience. That's why the Bible tells us that there is that joy of salvation. The psalmist says, I long for the joy of salvation. When King David had made so much mistakes and then he comes to his senses and he had asked forgiveness from the Lord, then he says, restore to me now, O Lord, the joy of your salvation. That's what it is. And at the same time, you see, joy is something that you could get in the presence of God. And since God is present in you all the time, then there should be no reason for us not to experience joy. It is good for us to see this wonderful verse in Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. Psalm chapter 16, verse 11. It says, you have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with your joy in your presence. It's with eternal pleasures at your right hand. Psalm 16, verse 11. You see that someone who have that relationship with Christ would also experience joy because God is present in you. And moreover, joy is an inner rejoicing that abides despite of circumstances. It could exist in times of difficulties. That's why happiness and joy is so different. It continues even when life situations seem so empty and unsatisfying. That's why Apostle James, when he says, you know, when you experience trials and testings and persecutions and even temptation, Apostle James says in chapter 1, consider it pure joy. And there are more to say about joy. And another one is this. When the Lord Jesus Christ was trying to explain to the disciples about joy, and he says it this. You see, when you pray, when your prayer is answered, there is joy. That's why he says in John chapter 16, verse 24, until now you have not asked for anything. Ask in my name, and your joy will what? Will be complete. You know, one of the greatest joy that anyone could ever have is when, especially when you see a loved one whom you have been praying all these years come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Especially it's like 10 years or 20 years or 30 years or even 40 years or even at deathbed. There is so much joy even though the person is about to die. But when that person comes to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is that joy that God alone can give, that God alone can let you experience. That's why even in heaven, there is much rejoicing when a sinner comes to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the other word or the other virtue is peace. Which in many times in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it is used for greeting, shalom. They say shalom, shalom for hello. And then in the end, they just say shalom for goodbye. It's the same thing that that Apostle Paul would use in his in most of his writings. He would say shalom in the beginning, and a lot of times in the end, he would also shalom again. But the fruit of peace that is coming from the Holy Spirit is greater than greetings. It is deeper than that. The Bible teaches us about the peace with God. Would you turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, verse 1? Romans chapter 5, verse 1. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first and foremost important step in achieving biblical peace. When you have peace with God through faith in Christ, then that is the beginning of the peace with God. And then when you come into that relationship, then you would begin the peace of God. God would give you peace with God through Jesus Christ through faith when you come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And thereafter, you would also enjoy the peace of God. Peace is also simply defined as a sense of calm and complete absence of hostility and fear in the heart. One time when the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 14, when he says, oh, I will now go away. But don't worry. Don't be saddened. Because when I go, I will also prepare a place for you. That is the context of John chapter 14. And then he says, peace I give you. Peace I leave you. Do not let your hearts be troubled and be afraid. Because I am coming back again. And then at one point when Apostle Paul was trying to teach the believers in Philippi, and he says, you are to bring your prayers to God in thanksgiving. Maybe it's better for us to read the whole thing. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And then on verse 7, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ. Here we see the implication that the Holy Spirit will manifest peace in the life of the believer when he or she give full trust in Christ. When you pray, you give your trust in God. That is why Prophet Isaiah says, you will keep in perfect peace for those who trust in God. Wonderful verse. So the first one is peace with God. And then next to that would be the peace of God. And then it doesn't stop there. God also allows us to live at peace with other people. It is the peace with man. We are exhorted, we are commanded many times in the Bible to be living with peace with one another. Actually, the Bible says that in Romans, in the same thing in Hebrews, make every effort to live with peace with everyone. And consequently, peace serves as a bridge from the believer's relationship with God to the believer's relationship with others. Now, at point two, the inward fruit that flows to believers' relationship with others. The first one is the fruit of patience. Just like the fruit of love, patience exemplifies the person of God. God is patient with you and me. From before we come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ up until now. Take for example in 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9. Before we come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is what the Word of God says. The Lord is not slacking concerning His promise because He says He doesn't want anyone to perish but come to repentance. He is patient. He is long-suffering towards us. He is not willing that anyone would perish. He does not want anyone would spend eternity in hell. He wants everyone to come to repentance and enjoy the salvation that is found in Christ and in Christ alone. Thank God He is patient with you and me. Otherwise, we would probably be missed such a great salvation. I don't know about you. Were you a hard soil? How many times that God would have given you the opportunity to commit your life to Christ, but all these years, it has taken so long. To some people, it would took years and years before making a decision for the Lord Jesus Christ. And thank God, God is patient that He let you experience His love. Practically, patience is probably one of the most, if not the most difficult areas of Christian life. Especially when the subway is not working well. Even this morning, coming here when the light is not, coming along with you. You know, there's like 12 seconds and by the time you get there, it's already exhausted. And it's testing your, patience really is a good character building for drivers. True. It's very true. It reminds me of a story of there's a man whose car is stalled in a heavy traffic. As the light turned green, all of his efforts, turning it on again, it just wouldn't work. The car will not start. So, you know how it is, especially in the Philippines. If that happens, you will hear a chorus of honk. And more than that, it will be flowered with other words that we cannot discuss this morning. But there was a guy behind him and becoming impatient. So the guy who had problem with his car got out of his car and walked into the first driver and said, "I am sorry, but I can't seem to get my car started. Will you go up and give it a try? And then I'll stay inside your car and blow your horn for you." You see, patience is tested or given in unpleasant and undesired circumstances in life. It is never happened in good times. And there are also times when your patience will be tested under unjust treatments, even in your workplaces. All this time you've been working, you've been doing good, but you never get the promotion because the boss just doesn't like you regardless. You never get proper due. Everybody gets so much and yet you get so less. But having patience in you, the divine patience that God gives you, you can endure. Many times in the Bible, James chapter 1, Romans chapter 12, it says that patience produce endurance. Under patience, you produce perseverance. And many other character building will take place when you begin to let God develop patience in you and through you. God is patiently working in our lives. To some of us, patience is slowly going. God is molding you, and one of them could be patience, one could be another fruit in our text. But because you experience this, you know God is being patient with you, you should also become patient with other people. You know the philosophy, freely receive, freely give. Now, are you a hard-headed person? That is why the Bible repeatedly teaches us about being patient. A person who had learned how to be patient will be rewarded not only with the characters, not only with all of this nature that is coming from the nature of God. Take a look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. There are many rewards that is coming from God when patience is developed in you, when you allow God to develop patience in you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 20. It tells us that you would also find favor from God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. God will reward you for this. And then the last one for today is the fruit of kindness. The Bible tells us many times we are to be kind to one another. Which reminds me, if you are given the opportunity, if you are female, which one would you rather have? Guapo o mabait? O mabait na guapo? Or both? Who would you rather have? A handsome or a kind person? Both. You see, kindness takes the initiative in responding to others' needs. Someone who is also charitable, benevolent, and compassionate. That's what a kind person should be like. And this is the kind of the fruit that should be molding, it should be growing in our lives. This is not the feeling of being sorry for someone. It is your willingness to put yourself in someone else's shoes. That's what it is. It is not sympathy, it is apathy. Could you turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32? Ephesians 4, verse 32. This is another wonderful verse. One verse full of treasures. It says, be kind. That's the first one. And compassionate to one another, forgiving one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ. You see, biblical kindness is also forgiving. It is not only being charitable or being compassionate, it also being forgiving. You know, in the sermon preparation and even all this time, I was wondering, why is it that forgiving or forgiveness is not part of the 9 virtues? I was saying that it would have been nice, but I do not dare to question the word of God. This is just me saying, because of the greatness of forgiveness or being forgiving to others. You know, you could see people exchanging words of encouragement. You could see people being patient with one another. But when you see people, two people, forgiving each other, it's a different showcase. It's far beyond being nice. It's far beyond being someone who is encouraging other person. But when you see someone, especially those who have been odd with each other for many years, even for 5 days, when you see people, you know,
connecting and forgiving one another, it's a greater showcase. Kindness also restores relationships. It also restores an erring brother. Take a look at Psalm 141. Psalm 141. Verse 5. 141 verse 5. It reads, "Let the righteous strike me, it shall be kindness, and let him rebuke me, it shall be as excellent oil, let my head not refuse it." You see? Kindness restores not only relationship, but also restores an erring brother. And if you really want to restore an erring brother, you need to be kind. You need to be patient. You need to be forgiving. So far, we could see is that the fruit of the Holy Spirit has a great scope in blessing and ministry. It is kind of intertwined with one another. Each one is distinct, but everyone is essential. If you want to grow as a Christian, we have to let the Holy Spirit work in us and let Him produce these 9 virtues in our text. If we want the fruit of the Spirit to grow in us, we must align our lives with God. And to be better understand the fruit of the Holy Spirit, we must see ourselves as not an individual tree. We have to see ourselves as branches, grafted under the cultivation and under the pruning ministry of the Holy Spirit. And it is also the same picture when the Lord Jesus Christ in John chapter 15. He is the tree. We are the branches. And who cultivates, who prunes? It is God. And God says, "You cannot do anything apart from me." And that is the challenge for us today. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him produce what? Much fruit. Actually, in John chapter 15, there are many times when it says fruit, but the expectation that is coming from God is you and I will not only just bear fruit, but you and I will bear much fruit. So God willing, I will be sharing with you in 3 weeks' time the other 4. But today, we have been blessed. I hope you have been blessed as we have discussed the 5 virtues in our text. Let's pray. Father, thank you that this morning you have allowed us to learn from you, that you have brought before us the fruit of the Holy Spirit, that you expect us to exhibit God's harvest of virtues in our lives as your people, that there should be love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Lord, we thank you for the privilege. We thank you for the blessing, and we pray that you will help us, especially on the virtues that we lack. Lord, please help us to help the Spirit control our lives, to let Him work in our hearts, in our minds, and in our lives. We thank you for how you have blessed us, for reminding us that you are our God, whose will is that for us to bear fruit in us. We know it is a lifetime process. It is never easy, but we could do it through you, who gives us the strength.
In Jesus, we pray all this. Amen.
I'm going to ask.